Okay, today's daf in Masechet Megillah brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is Daf Zayin, and we had just finished the question. We're talking about the B'kol Shana V'Shana, what the need is of both B'kol Shana V'Shana and Igeret HaPurim HaSheinit, to tell me to keep it in Adar Sheni. But what about if you hold according to Rabbi Eliezer Ber Yossi, who says that you can actually read the Megillah and you have to read the Megillah in Adar Rishon, because we're talking about the Adar which is Somuch to Shvat, and not the other that Somach the Nisan. So how does he understand the Pasuk of Igeret HaPurim HaSheinit, asks the Gemara. So that's where we were up to today, and we're on the fifth line of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer Ber Yossi. What does he do with the Pasuk of HaSheinit, since it's not talking about Adar Sheni? So my Ovidle, what does he do with it? Ah, that he says, I need to tell me the Chiddush, actually, of Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and that this is referring to a very intense political discussion that took place at the time of the Kviyas of the Megillah, then the Chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah originally. So what happened was that Esther sends to the Chachamim, Kivauni Ledorot, that there should be a Kviyas of a Chiyuv. And this, as the Ramban said, the Chatchila, everybody in the Arim that were open, the Prazim, they all kept Purim on their own. Wasn't they Takana? So she writes, Kivauni Ledorot, make this a Chiyuv for all generations, that there should be a Kriyas HaMegillah, and there should be a holiday. People should remember what it was that was achieved here. Shochula, so they sent her back, Kinat Ma'oreret Aleinu, we can't do that, because, I mean, that'll be like right smack bang in their face. Like, tell them, you know, we're gonna celebrate the downfall of you people. I mean, you don't think that that's gonna infuriate them? Shalchalahem, so she sent back, and that's why the next pasuk is, after it says, Vatichtov Esther Amalka Batavichael, Mordechai Yudi et Kol Tokev, the Kayemet Igeret Apurim Azota Sheinit. So then it says, at the end of that pasuk, Divrei Shalom Vayemet, Hare Alo Hem Ktuvim, B'Divrei Hayamim, right? The Sefer Divrei Hayamim, L'molchai Parasu Madai. Why do we need that? Because that's what she was saying. You can't have more problems than you already have. Since this was already put into the history books, so what's the problem if we're also massacred? They know already what they went through because of us. Remember, this was that incredible outburst of Streicher in Nuremberg when they sentenced him to hanging. I think it was maybe when he was actually being taken to the gallows. So he shouts out, Das ist Purimfest! It's like, now he realizes they got him all like again. Unbelievable. So it was really on their mind. Rav Reb Chanina and Reb Yochanan and Reb Chaviva, they were masno, by the way. This girsa is a problem, says the Gemara, because actually, throughout Seder Moed, whenever you have that four, there's a mistake there, because during Moed, some of them are chilufi Reb Yochanan Ma'al Reb Yonasan, and that it wasn't that Reb Yochanan was there in that chabura during the limud of Seder Moed, it was Reb Yonatan that was there. But anyway, so the story goes like this. Shokhalam Esther l'chachamim kitvuni l'dorot. So they sent her back. We don't have a right to be koveya part of ketuvim. You're going to be adding now to ketuvim. So it says in the pasuk that there is, in fact, a three-time mentioning in the Kisvei HaKodesh of the Maase v'Amalek. It says, Halokatavti lecha shalishim. I've written for you three times. Here, this is how Rashi understands it, that Shlomo HaMelech is actually talking about Megillas Esther, so to speak. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech is saying that you had a right to write down the Inyonim of Amalek three times. So, and that means not four times. Shalishim velo ribeim. Now, there are others. The Ritva, for instance, he learns that the meaning of this is that Shlomo HaMelech said, I was only allowed to write three Sfarim. That's the pshat. So what's he talking about, Esther? He's talking about himself. So he was given the right to write down Kohelet and Mishle and Shir HaShirim. And there, and he was limited. He was told that's the maximum you can write. According to Ritva, that's what they were selling to Esther. But you're going to say that you have a right when Shlomo HaMelech needed specifically a heter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're going to now be adding on to the number of times that we mention the Inyonim of Esther, Barashi learns that he was referring specifically to this story of Amalek. There's only three times that you have a right to have Amalek in the Torah. And that was the, and we'll see in a minute what those three times are. But Parshas, the three times are the original story with Yehoshua, and then the story of Amalek itself and the mitzvah, and Kiseitse, and then the story of Shaul. Achimatzulo mikra shekatuv batorah kitov zot zikaron basefer. So what does that mean? Kitov zot. So this is talking about what's happening now contemporarily in the Torah at the time of Moshe, when this pasuk was told to him. So that's what's written in the Torah itself. Mashekatuv kan and mashekatuv b'mishnah Torah. That is the zot. Zikaron, that's the story in Shmuel, Mashekatuv b'Nevi'im, when Shaul was told to destroy Amalek. And Basefer includes a new din of Sefer, and that is Mashekatuv b'Megillah. And the truth is, it's about Machlokes Tanoim, whether actually there was a heter to write down the Megillah to be part of Ketuvim. So Ketanoim, Ketov Zot, Mashekatuv Kat. Zikaron, that is a separate ketiva, that's referring to Zecharas Asher Asalach Amalek, and that's in Mishneh Torah. And Bas Sefer is what is the story of Shaul, Mashekatuv HaBnevi'im, but there is no additional remez for Megillat Esther. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i Omer, Ktov Zot, that's a reference to, as we just said, everything written in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Mashekatuv Kan, and B'Mishneh Torah. And that includes the idea of all of the Torah that is given as Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Zikaron is a reference to Nevi'im. And Basefer, as we said, is Masha Ketubah Megillah, according to which there was actually a Kedusha of Ketiva in Megillas Esther. Om Rav Yerom Shmuel, Esther Eina Mitam'a, Et hayadayim. So remember that we had back in Shabbos, that we had that there were the Yud Ches Dvorim, that the Gezeiros that were made at the time of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, were, one of them was that Kisvei HaKodesh are metame es hayadayim. And this was in order, remember, to protect them because they used to store truma next to them and that would bring rats. And so this way they would keep truma away from it also. So it's Taina's Reviewuda that Shmuel said that there was no din of Tumas Yadayim on Esther. So that apparently means that Esther does not have the Kedusha of Ketuvim. So why is that? Does that mean Lemeima de Sova Shmuel Esther Lav Baruch HaKadosh Nemra? So in other words, he seems to be saying that Esther is a story, but it's like a historical story, and it doesn't have any Kedusha in it because there was no Ruach HaKodesh that was involved in the Ksiva of Esther. But that can't be the reason, because Shmuel himself was the one that's quoted over here as saying that it's not Metame Esayadayim, it's Shmuel who said that Esther was written Ruach HaKodesh. Answers the Gemara, it was written Ruach HaKodesh, but it was not Nemra lichtov. There was no heter to write it down. This is how Rashi understands it. And it means that even though you're supposed to learn the Megillah Baal Peh, and you're supposed to say it over Baal Peh, but it's not supposed to be written down in a sefer with Kedusha. Now, Lamaisa, this is very difficult because, I mean, throughout the Gemara, it talks about the dinim of ksiva, and it has to be alaklaf, and what's the halach if something is missing, and it has to be put together with gidim. All of those are dinim in the Kedushas HaSefer. So what exactly would that mean? So other Rishonim Taina, not like Rashi, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to write it down at all. It's that the Rabbanan saw that the Torah wanted there to be a zikara in Biksav of the Inyonim of Amalek, so therefore they made this something that you should write to read from, but it doesn't have a din of a real sefer, but they gave it all of the attributes of a sefer. So those dinim that have to do with alaklav and has to do with using gidim and so on, it's true, but it doesn't have Kedusha sefer. That's what it means. But it was written Beruach HaKadosh, Meisve. How do you explain the fact, if you're saying it doesn't make you tummy, Rabbi Meir, Eimer Kohela, Seinem Etame Seyadayim, and there's a Machlokes B'Shir HaShirim. So, according to Rabbi Meir, it's true that Koheles is not included in the Kisvei HaKadosh, and because of that, it's Chochmas Shloimet, but it's therefore not Metam Yisyadayim, and there's a machlokas about whether Shir HaShirim has the Kedusha of Ksuvim or not. So Taina is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, for sure Shir HaShirim is Metam Yisyadayim. There is a machlokas about Koheles, whether or not Koheles was, remember that was the whole story, that they went to be Beit Koheles and they were Bikshu to be Goynes as Koheles. There's a Machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, actually, Koheles, Bikulei Beit Shemayim Uchumrei Beit Hillel. This is one of the cases where Beit Hillel says L'chumra, and it's Metame, and Beit Shammai says L'kula. So in other words, according to Beit Shammai, which is actually, in a sense, it's the more stringent approach of Beit Shammai, that wouldn't consider that to be Kisvei HaKodesh, because of that it's not Metame, which ends up becoming a Kula. Avorut, Vishir HaShirim, Ve'Ester, Metame Netoyadayim. So, I mean, here it says Beferish, in the Mishnah, that Esther is Metame Yadayim. So where in the world does Shmuel come off as saying otherwise? Ah, because Shmuel goes according to another Tana. Who do you make Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua said in the Brisa that Esther was not included. So fine, so if it's not included in Kisvei HaKadosh, so then it would not be Metame Esei Adayim. That was the Ktav Zotzi Karon B'Sefer, in which case there was no place to be Metame B'Adayim. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasi Omer, Kohelet Eino Metame Etei Adayim Ipnei Shechochmato Shel Shlomoi. That was not from Ruach HaKodesh. That was Shlomo HaMelech's own Chochma. Omru lo. So the Chachomim said to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasi, understand, this is the Chochma of Shlomo. You know how many books Shlomo HaMelech had. V'chizu b'ovad amar. V'alo kvanema v'daber shloshet alafim mashal. That he spoke, this is, says Beferish, this is in Nevi'im, not in Mishlei, so this is in Melachim. That Shlomo HaMelech had 3,000 different Mishalim, the world was written down. So obviously, if this one was written down, it's got to be something special, right? So, and not only that, it also says, Al Tosef Al Devarav, do not add to what is written over here. Now that means, if do not add, it means that they are unique and they have a Kedusha. There's an issue with Al Tosef, and you can't just go adding to it. Why do we need that part? Didn't you already prove it from the first pasuk of Shloshet Alafim Mashal? No, because you could say, V'chi teima, meimar tuva omar. Listen, he had many things. And Iboy ichtiv, Iboy lo ichtiv. So, I mean, fine. Some of them he wanted to write down. Some of them he didn't want to publish, whatever. So that's all that that proves. And the fact that something was included in Kohelet doesn't mean that it was necessarily Beruach HaKadosh. It just means that those he felt were the ones he wanted to publish. Tashma, Al Toysef Al Devarav. If the Pasuk is telling you, you can't add to it. So obviously it's not a simple, arbitrary determination. These are the things that Gufa had the Kedusha that he wrote down. So for sure you have to say that that was Kadosh. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer on there, I'll prove to you that Esther was Nemar Beruach HaKadosh. Sheneemar Vayomer Haman Bilibo. Now, how in the world can you record what Haman was thinking in his heart? So if these words were given over to you, Beruach HaKadosh, so then you could say what Haman was thinking in his heart. But otherwise, it was a little ridiculous to put in the words. And Haman thought, I mean, that what is this, a novel? You're making up a story what Haman thought in his heart. You don't have the slightest idea what Haman thought in his heart. So that must be, it was Beruach HaKadosh. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll prove to you that Esther was written Beruach HaKadosh. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vatehi Esther noseit chein beinei kol ro'ea. Everybody that saw Esther thought she was just, wow. I mean, I don't understand. How do you know what everybody thought? I mean, you could say like a lot of people were very, very impressed with Esther, but that kind of pasuk can only be said Baruch HaKadosh. Rebbe Meir says, I'll prove to you that Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, because the whole thing records a story of Ruach HaKodesh. Because when it says, Vayivada HaDavar L'Mordechai, what is that supposed to mean? Vayivada HaDavar. I mean, how did it become known to Mordechai? In other words, to Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Yosef and Durmaski, somehow I'll prove to you. Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. How could they write a post that says, Uva Biza Lo Shochu Et Yada? Well, you're telling me you know that over all of the various countries, 127 countries, where all the Jews were not one Jew. I mean, remember, even when we came into Eretz Yisrael, we had the mice with Achan. You're telling me that you know that nobody took a nickel from all of the money that was found on the Amalekites that they killed. You know, the guy was wearing a Rolex. He resisted the temptation to take Mr. Nazi's Rolex. How do you know? Unless, of course, it was said Baruch HaKodesh. Omar Shmuel, look, I mean, this conversation obviously took place in Doris before I was born, but I could tell you something. If I were there, I would have said something better than all of them. Aviamina milta dadifa mikulo. I would have said, look, it says in the pasuk, ki mu vikiblu ayudim. What do you mean, ki mu vikiblu? What's the difference? Ki mu vikiblu, vikiblu? It must mean ki mu lamala, ma shekiblu lamata. That in the Shamayim, there was a, so to speak, a gushpanka, there was that chatimah v'kadosh baruch hu, that indeed this is meant to be a meyed l'deres, and you have to read the Megillah and so on and so forth. How could they say such a thing unless it was nigla to them, Baruch HaKodesh? Omar Rava, you see, l'chulu itlu pircha. You can have some answer to every one of the so-called proofs that all the Tanoim brought. Only Shmuel, generations later, he's the only one that had a really good raya. And that one is let lepircha. I'll show you. Look, I mean, Rabbi Eliezer brings a raya from Vayomer Haman Bilibo. I mean, obviously Vayomer Haman Bilibo. I mean, there's Haman talk going on and on about, and give him this, and give him that. I mean, so obviously he was talking about himself. The reason that he figured it is because Lo Havi Inish L'Koshim L'Malka Kavateh. I mean, he was the leading advisor. There was nobody that was like him with access to the king. So why is he saying, and make sure you give him this, and you give him that, and you give him the king's horse, and so on? It must be because it was Adaitid and Afshika Omar. So that's the type of thing that's Mitbakesh Me'alav. I don't need Ruach HaKodesh for that. Rabbi Akiva. I mean, what is Rabbi Akiva's proof? That Esther was Motzis Chayn Be'nei Koro'eh. How do you know? Maybe she only looked nice to people who have dark skin. Do I know? But I can answer you. It must be Dilma Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says that this teaches you, Malami Shikol Echad V'Echad Nidmetalok Umato. This teaches you that must be that everybody thought that Esther came from her, from that country that they came from. Because she wouldn't say where she came from, and everyone was convinced that she came from that country. There's an amazing remez to this in My Fair Lady. Because in My Fair Lady, the proof in Pygmalion of the success was that when she finally goes to the party, so the princess, the Hungarian princess, says, not only that, she's clearly Hungarian. Oh. So you see that it was Nidmatala, look, Umatala. Unbelievable. Straight out of the Gemara. So that means that you can't prove that it was Ruach HaKodesh. Now, Rebbe Meir, when it says that it became known in very simple ways, like we'll see later on, Rebbe Chiya Bar Ava says that the Big Son and Teresh story was because they were Shnei Tarsiim, and they were speaking in the Lashon of Tarsia, and nobody else knew that language except for Mordechai, because he was a Baki, remember, in Shivim Lashonites, and he was called Mordechai Bilshan. So he found out, but he didn't need Ruach HaKodesh. And as far as Rabbi Yosef ben Durmaskis is concerned, Babi Zalo Shochu Et Yadam, it could be that Mordechai and Esther had these people that they had put all over the place to make sure that nobody was going to take any money. And there were policemen and priestikai shadur, because they did not want to have any kind of opening that the goyim should say that the Jews were sitting there stealing their money. But Shmuel is for sure. Vade let le pircha. He's saying kimu v'kibu means that this was mekubal in the Shamayim. Omer Avina, yep, that is the popular saying. Tava chada pepalta harifta mimale tzani kare. It's better to have one sharp pepper than a whole basketful of squash. Now you'll notice, by the way, that this is the difference between tzani de kare, which is, of course, a whole remnant to what's going on over here in Purim. Rabbi Yosef, I'll prove to you that it's Ruach HaKodesh. How can you know whether they're going to be Yavru? Well, you know the future. Must be that this is Begeder Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, I'll prove it to you. It says at the end of that pasuk, Vizichram lo yasuv mizaram. It will never be forgotten. So, therefore, you see that it must have been Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, next thing that we have is this discussion about Matanot Levyonim and Mishloach Manah. So, Tani Rav Yosef, take a look at the difference in the psukim. When it comes to Mishloach Manot, it says, U'mishloach manot ish lirei'ehu. So then that means one person has to send two manot to a friend, a single friend. That's the chiyuv. Masha Enkein, where it says matanot le'evyonim, it uses l'lashon rabim, ish l'reyehu, and also give gifts to the evyonim. So that would mean you have to give a minimum of two gifts, but they're spread out to two people. So that's a very different idea, and that's reflected in the halacha. Rav Yehuda Nesia sent Rabbi Oshaya an atma to Igla Talita, and a garba de chamra. So he sent him a whole thigh of an igla tlita that was the most choshev ego, third-born ego, plus a bottle of wine. So Rav Oshaya sent back to him, shalach le kiyamta banu rabbeinu. Now here's the whole question, what the correct iris is and what the chiddush is. Kiyamta banu rabbeinu, umishloach menot ish l'reyeyu, umatanot le'evyonim. Now the words matanot le'evyonim do not seem to belong here, and indeed the Bach takes it out. And it doesn't seem that they were in Rashi either, but there was a different girsa, which actually Ritva brings, which is as it's marked in Yerushalmi, which is that it doesn't say kiyamta the mishloach manos, it only says kiyamta matanot levyonim. So what was that meant? It meant Rav Oshaya was saying, listen here, I am a very rich guy, okay? Sending me this kind of gift. I mean, if I was poor, you could have been Mekayim maybe Matonis Levyonim. You're certainly not Mekayim Mishloach Monis and sending me this cheapo gift. This is what I have for lunch every day. Show me something special. I don't know. It's a pretty big gift, a whole Atma, but anyway. But that seems to have been the Girsa. But if that's the case, so then it actually is nogea la halacha. And indeed, there are those who pask in this way, that you cannot be Mekayim Mishloach Manos, which people think that you can. And Lamaisa L'Chayodim says you're not Mekayim the mitzvah. You cannot be Mekayim Mishloach Manos just by sending something. You have to send a thing that is chashuv on the level of the person that is receiving it, so that he can value it and he would utilize it for his seudah. That's considered to be Mishloach Manos, in which case this is a real slap in the face. Thank you very much for your Matanis Levyonim. Oh, gosh. That's an awful response to a nice Mishloach Manos. But it definitely makes the point very powerfully. Rabbah, Shadali Lamori Barmar, Biyada Bayas. Rabbah sends, and he uses a bayah. This is also a brought la'alocha. The question is whether Mishloach Manos is specifically Mishloach Manos. So in other words, it's important to mention who the shliach is. So he sent Abaye to bring the Mishloach Manos to Mori Bar Mar. And what he sent was Mole Taska de Kaspa. So he had a basket full of dates. And Mole Kasa Kimcha Dafshuna. And he had this cup that was filled up with this sweet flour that you make from wheat that is roasted while it's still in the fresh state that hasn't dried out yet. And that has a very sweet taste. Oh, Malay Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi, well, you know what Mari's going to say. Well, he's going to say, you know, it's a pretty cheap Shalach Manis also, you know. So he's going to say that this is what people say. Ichaklo Malkalahavi. If a farmer becomes a king, Dikula Mitzavari Lo Nachis. He never takes off his animal feed basket from off of his back. He's still going around feeding the animals because, you know, now you're a pretty chashuv a guy and you're sending the kind of stuff that you, when you were a poor man and you weren't the Rosh of the whole community and you weren't the Rosh Hashiva, this is the kind of stuff you would have. Apparently you're still carrying the animal feed basket. Another put down to a Shalach Manas. So, Hola Shadar Le Ihu, so Mari Barmar sends back Shalach Manas to Rabbah. And he sends a Malay Taska to Zangabila, so he has this basket filled with ginger. And Malokaspa de Papalta Aricha, we're back with the pilpul again. That's the difference between pilpul and mikra, kari. Right? So, Papala, one sharp pilpul is worth more than all of these psukim, which of course is the Teresh Shabbal Peh, that was Mishadish on Purim and so on, that was the whole linyan. So anyway, so Omar Abaye, so Abaye, you know what Rab is going to say to you? He's going to say to you, Ashtar Mamar, I mean, I know what he's going to say when I bring this back. I send him all these sweet things, Ana Shadr Lechulia, I'm trying to show him how sweet I think he is, and he sends me back all of the sharp stuff? That's not appropriate. The Iu Shadali Khurpa, Om Rabbaye. I can tell you one thing, that when I left Rabbah's house, you know, and I was taking the Shalach Manas, I mean, I had a really nice Purim Suda, and I was full to the gills. I couldn't eat another thing. I would have sworn I couldn't eat anything. Havis Savana. Anyway, I come over there to Mari to deliver the Shalach Manas. They bring out these 60 different hors d'oeuvres. Oh my God. Everyone was better than the next. I was going crazy. And I ate every last one of them, despite the fact that I was full to the gills. The achlebu shitin pluge. And I ate 60 of each of them. And the last one, oh, that was the killer. The last one they called Sli Kedar. Now, that was so incredible. I'm telling you, I wanted to eat the plate. I was going to chew the plate up. I mean, I just couldn't get enough of this stuff. Wow. Omer Abaye, Haina Damra Inches. This is what people say. Kofin Aniya Velo Yada. Poor, don't even know how hungry they are. You bring them out, that stuff, all of a sudden they've got an appetite. I don't know if anybody ever has gone to eat by Moshe Forman, but you walk in there completely, you're saying, I couldn't possibly eat any of this. And oh, somehow or other, I guess he's not showing up there. He might not be there. Okay. Somehow or other, he gets you to eat something. And you know what it says. Inami, there's another popular saying which became an advertisement on TV. And that is, there's always room for jello. Exactly. Rav Chalabesima Shriach. There's always a little bit of space for that extra sweet dessert. Abaye Barovin, Reb Chanina Barovin, Mechafis Udatayu Lahadode. They would change, each one would give their Su'udas Purim to the other one. Now that is the way Rashi understands it, which is Stam. Okay, so that would be Nogea, the concept of it's good to be with friends, so sometimes you would invite me over, and sometimes I would invite you over. But the Rambam uses this to tell me that you can be Yotzei Mishloach Manos if you don't have money, so you can buy the other person a Suda for him as the Mishloach Manos, and he can send you a Suda as Mishloach Manos, and that way you can actually afford it because you'll have what to eat, even if you send him what to eat. And that's also good for Shalach Manos. Omar Rava, Michayev Inish Levesume Bepuria Adelo Yada Menorur Haman Levaruch Mordechai. You need to get so high on Purim that basically you do not see any difference between Orur Haman or Voruch Mordechai, because you can basically see the two as exactly the same expression. Okay, it's a whole different question of what as you know, we'll talk about this halacha afterwards. Well, the question about whether this means literally that you're supposed to get completely insanely drunk, because, I mean, as all the Peskim talk about, how could the Torah tell you, how could Chazal tell you to do something that is always the source of all of these terrible things, and it brings a person to Arias and to Isurim and to... Okay, a lot of discussion about this, whether it means literally that. The Rambam says that you should drink and that you fall asleep, mitoch yeno, and that way you don't know Ben Aron Baruch Mordechai in your dreams. So that's definitely a good way to be kind of the mitzvah, going to Rambam. I do that every year. Just take a little, have a little soda, take a little nap. Okay, Baruch Hashem of Ziyotzi, like the Rambam. Rabba Verbi Zera, of the Sudat Purim Bahadei Adonis. So now this is more mashma. If it's a continuation, it's more mashma like Rashi's Pshat. But there's no reason to believe it's a continuation of Machlefei Sudasayu. It could just be a continuation of Mechayevinish Levesumi Bepuria. Anyway, so what happened is that Kam Rabba, Rabba was so drunk that he shechted Rabbi Zera. Then he wakes up in the morning, he says, oh my God, I killed Rabbi Zera. So Lamachar boy Rach Meviachi, so he had to be Mechayim Mesim, so he was mispalal that Rabbi Zera should come back to life, and Rabbi Zera comes back to life. I see that the Rebbe is not showing his face, because I have a beautiful Chassidish Pshat on this, but I was only going to say it if the Rebbe is here. If the Rebbe is not here, who's going to really appreciate it, you know? So, yeah, we'll have to go weiter. It looks like Rebbe is fast asleep behind that picture. And he's not fast asleep. Oh, so then I'll tell you. So the Chassidish Pshat is that Rabbi Zera used to be misagef himself. There's a lot of stories about Taniyot that Rabbi Zera made fun of himself. And so he's very, his Avedas HaKodesh was always with sadness. And he was very embittered and always constantly with, of course, obviously, Rabbi was a chosid. So Rava was always working mitoch ava, mitoch, so he was the one that got high. And he sees that Rabbi Zera is not responding properly. So he forces him and crushes him. And that was shachta. He killed him. It was just killing Rabbi Zera to learn to be oved mitoch ava. So so he was so broken that Rava had to bring him to life with the derech of aveda mitoch simcha. And that saved Rabbi Zera's life. Sounds good? Okay.
That is the most chassidic quote I've ever given.
Okay. So anyway, so the next year, Rabbi says to Rabbi Zera, listen, let's make a Siddur Purim together. Amalei Rabbi Zera says, no, wait a minute. It was rather traumatic last year. And lo b'chol shata v'shata b'srachesh nisa. You know, not every year do we have miracles occurring. It was all very nice. You were able to put me back together again. What if this year it's all the king's horses and all the king's men? And poor Rabbi Zera is not put back together again. Omar Rava. Su'udat Purim shachla b'layla lo yatza yedei chovato. If you eat Purim Suda at night, you're not yotze. Because take a look at the pasuk, my time, yemei mishteva simcha, it says davka days, and that doesn't include the night. Rav Ashi was once learning, and he's sitting there in the shir, and in front of Amebar, it's possibly the different gerzos here, you remember of Kahana, noga velot rabbana, he's waiting and waiting to give shir, nobody comes for shir. Omar lei, so Rav Ashi asks him, apparently, this is a machorkas, how to read the Gemara, whether it was Rav Kana who asked Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi asked Rav Kana, my time alos rabbona, what's going on today? I'm sitting here. So again, the Bach puts in Omar lei, dilma triti besudas purim. So, but Pash, this is Rav Ashi was trying to make Rav Kana feel better about it. Problem is that at the end, it's the one who is explaining why not shouldn't be the Talmud, it should be the Rav, so therefore there's confusion about who's saying what. Okay, but Pashas, at the beginning of the conversation, if Rav Kahana is upset, so Rav Kahana is saying, where is everybody? So Rav Ashi says, and therefore he puts in the word, Omar Lei, says the Bach, so Rav Ashi says to him, Dilma Triti B'Sudas Purim, maybe people are still eating their Sudas Purim. You know, and they're a little high, and Omar Lei, I understand, they had to make a Suras Purim in the middle of the day, and then that way they're going to miss Shir? Couldn't they have made the Suddas Purim at night? Omar Lay, see, here's why it becomes problematic, because Rav Ashi shouldn't be teaching Rav Kana this halacha. So Omar Lay, lo shmielei lamar hadi omar rava, Suddas Purim sha'och lo balayla, lo yatzei di yedecho lato? So he asked him, really? Omar Rava, did Rava actually say that? Omar Layin, he did indeed. Tanamine arba in zimnim, he said it over to 40 times. Until it was actually clear to him that he wasn't going to forget it. That way he had it in his pocket, which is what we say in English also. Okay, so he got it in his pocket. Now he's not going to forget. Suddas Purim, you cannot do that. It's amazing. Like we hear these things, we figure, oh, okay, now I know that. 2 weeks later, somebody comes and asks you, and you remember vaguely, you did hear something about that, but was it, you're supposed to eat it at night? You can't eat it now. Gosh. So he knew, and he chazed it over 40 times before he thought that he knew it. And that reminds us of a very special moment just coming up right here and now. Go right ahead, Sir Richard. Ein bein yom tov l'shabbos ela oichel nefesh bilvad. What the heck does this have to do with anything? But as you'll notice, we introduced it. Chayav onish l'besumi v'puriya ad lo yoda bein. The rest of the perek is all the mishnayos about bein. So this is the ultimate continuation of ein bein adar rishon la'adar sheni, which has the concept of Havdalah and distinguishing subtle issues as being related specifically to the Pilpalta Harifta of Purim and the question of whether a person can get beyond Das, Ad Lo Yada, whether that is also a function of Purim. So we have all of the Mishnayos of Ein Bein in this parak from this point on. That's the rest of the parak. It's about Ein Bein. So there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to which malachas are osur, which malachas are mutter. The only difference is that on Yom Tov you could do a malacha if it's for preparing food. So if that's the only difference, says the Gemara, that would mean it's the actual preparation of food. But anything that would be machshirei ochel nefesh, they would both be the same, meaning that they would both be osur, because obviously you can't do machshirei ochel nefesh. So in other words, I can do the things that I need specifically right now I couldn't do before, and I'm doing this. Well, actually, I shouldn't say couldn't do before. We don't know that yet. But things that are necessary but are a step removed from the final product, let's say I have to make a knife or even sharpen a knife. I can't make a knife to do the shechita. I can do the shechita, but I can't do the heksher. Same question that we had to Gabe Reb Eliezer de Mila. Can I make the knife in order to do the meal? So mashma, that definitely, it's also both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, because otherwise you should have said, even makshiri oichel nefesh. Matnitin delok Rebbe Yehuda. That means that the Mishnah is not going a libra Rebbe Yehuda. The Tanya ain ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos, ela oichel nefesh. And Rebbe Yehuda says, no, even makshiri oichel nefesh. And here, the Mishnah is bedafka leaving out makshiri oichel nefesh. My time at the Tanakhama. So why does the Tanakhama say that only the immediate hachon of Eichlin is mutter? Because why else did the Pasuk say, Hu levado yeaseh lechem? Well, I mean, you said that, right? You said beferish, Ach asher yeachel lechol nefesh, yeaseh lechem. What do you mean, Hu levado yeaseh lechem? Oh, that's the point. Only the direct ochel nefesh and not anything that is a step removed. That says it very, very clearly. So indeed, Rebbe Yehuda, what does he do with that? He says, but look, I mean, the same Pasuk says, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Ov Yavka Sheyachel Lachol Mevashu Levado Yaseh Lachem. So that Mikra Kodesh is for you. And you can do Lachol Tzarchichem. Anything that you need to do. Well, what do you need to add that for if you said you can eat? But the point is you can do anything that is necessary in order to bring yourself to be able to eat. So you could even sharpen the knife. Hey, that's a good point. So what does the Tanakhama do with the lachem? V'idachami, doesn't it say lachem? No, that means it can only be done lachem, but you can't do it for your dog, or you can't do it for goyim. You can do it for you yourself. V'idachami, Rabbi Yehuda, indeed. What do you do with who? Haktiv who? Says Rabbi Yehuda, look, on the one hand it says who, right? On the other hand, it says lachem. So it's telling you, you can do certain makshirin, you can't do other makshirin. I'll tell you. Kan b'makshirin she'efshar la'asotan mi'erev yom tov. Kan b'makshirin she'efshar la'asotan mi'erev yom tov. So if this was something that could have been done before yom tov and it wouldn't have affected the quality, so then you would have to do it before yom tov. If it's something that would have affected the quality, or it was something that happened, you're not concentrating, Rebbe, or it was something that happened on yom tov that could not have been planned for, an accident took place, whatever, and wrecked your knife, so to speak. So that is Eif Shalah Sotamir of Yantev, and therefore you can do it. So I might know you can only do the Hachanais, Makshiri Hachanafesh, which could not have been done before. Oh, Sir Richard! You're not on the ball, man. Ein Bein Shabbat Liom Tov. There's no difference in the Yisurei Melacha of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur, I mean, Ela shezez dono b'dei Adam, v'zez dono b'karet. The only difference is that a mezid on Shabbos is chayav misas bezdin, and a mechalo Yom HaKippurim is chayav karet, which is not in the hand of bezdin, it's in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which implies that b'nogea tashlumim zev v'zeh shavim. That when it comes to the question of kom lei b'derab, I mean, so let's say somebody in his act of chilul Shabbos has burnt down another guy's barn, or in his act of chilul Yom HaKippurim has burnt down another guy's barn, and that was his chilul. Does he have to pay? No, because of kom lei b'derab, I mean. So therefore, it's mashma that kares is the same as mizas bezdin if it comes to the question of paying in the place of a death sentence, money matnitin, which would mean that the Mishnah would be going only according to Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana. The Tanya, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana hayose et Yom HaKippurim ki Shabbat tashlumim. He learned that the din of kom le'b'derab mineh applies even to karet. And he said, just like Shabbat mitchayev ben hafsho upatur min hatashlumim, so therefore, it's a din, this we learn out from the Im lo ya'ason anoshi anesh, but if there would be an ason, you're chayev mis, and therefore you don't pay for the vladais. So af Yom HaKippurim, you're mitchayev benafsho. Look, it's a death penalty curse, right? I mean, not bidei onam, but bidei shamayim, upatur mina tashlumim, which should be exactly the same. Now, Tanan Hasim in Makkos, we had the Mishnah that said, kol chayevei kritot shelaku nifturu midei kritatat. If the individual was given hatra'ah and he got malchus, then he does not get chorus anymore. He's potter from his chorus. Why? Because it says beferish, v'nikla achicha la'enecha. When your brother was lowered, it was very demeaning to be beaten in Bezdin. So when your brother suffers that treatment, he becomes your brother. Kivan shalaka areo keachicha. When a person goes through such a demeaning thing, that is a kapora on him, and now he is completely your ach, as if he had never sinned, and he no longer is a chi of kares. So says Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, well, I can tell you, chalukin alav chavirav, a Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. It's pretty clear to me that not everybody agrees, because, I mean, lechora Omar Rava, I'm Rabbi Rav. They used to say that Tanina, he's right in not accepting Reb Chananya ben Gamliel from our Mishnah. It says, Ein ben Yom HaKippurim b'Shabbat, Ela shezez dono b'nei Adam v'zez dono b'kareid. And if you're going to tell me that getting Malkus is the Ptur from Kares, so then that means that actually you can get your own Esh b'dei Adam on Yom HaKippurim, for Yom HaKippurim. So apparently, you do not get your onesh bidei adam. And if you get malchus, it's just some additional pain. But it's not your real onesh. So apparently, the Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel is wrong. Because im itaf, he's correct, then idivi idibi de adami, then we should actually see both of them as being a thing, a onesh that's given over bide adam. Omer of money, now, this, it's not true. This Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that there is no malchus when there's a chi of kores. The Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayve kritot bichlal hayu. Isn't it says when it comes to the arayot? So it says beferish kol asher yase mikol atoivot ha'ele v'nichretu anefashot ha'osot bikerav amam. All of the arayos were included. So can you explain to me why in Kedoshim we need to tell us that ish asher yikach et achoto v'nichretu anefashot? I know that already. So why then lama yatzatz kares ba'achoto? What's the point of mentioning specifically this additional kares? Laduna bekaret velo b'malkot. It's to tell me that even if you had Aden that were actually mazir, don't do this because you will get malkas, you will not get malkas. Laduna bekaret velo b'malkot. So once that's true, this is actually an expression of a dover that was yotzim in a klal to be malamed, and now it's going to be malamed on the entire klal of the Bali Kritut, that there is no such thing as Malkus. But if there is Malkus, and which is what everybody else hold, so then Enochinami, maybe you would be putter from your curse by Malkus, like Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel says. You can't disprove Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel if you can't first establish that there definitely is Malkus on a Chai of Krisis. Because he was only going, obviously, according to the Mandi Omar, which is the normative approach, that there is a chi of Malkus on all Chayavi Krisis. And Rav Ashi says, you don't have to go to that extreme. Even if it's going according to the Rabbanan, there's no problem. There is Malkus with Chorus. And nonetheless, this has nothing to do with Rav Hananya ben Gamliel. Because obviously, what are you going to say? That the Isser of Yom Kippur, the Chumrah of Yom Kippur, is also the Bezdin. The Chumrah of Yom Kippur is Chorus. The fact that you can get away from the Chorus by being the Venikla Achicha Leinecha, that's a very fortunate way out. But it certainly is not the Iker expression of the Chumrah of Yom Kippurim. So therefore, what the Mishnah would be saying is, Ze Ikar Zidono Bidei Adam, and Ze Ikar Zidono Bihikaret. So the idea over here is that the main Einesh of Shabbos, the biggest Einesh on Shabbos, is the Einesh where you have an Eidim that gave you Hasra, that you're going to be Chayav Misa. So if that happens, then that is the biggest Chumrah of it, and that is in Bezdin. But on Yom Kippur, if you have Eidim that gave you Hasra for the Lav, then Dafka, that's not the Chumrah. That's the way to get out of the Chumrah. So obviously we're not comparing those two cases. So the Iker Chumrah of Yom HaKippurim is the equivalent on Shabbos of Chilul Shabbos without Eidim Vahasra. That's the point. And that's still obviously true, even if you hold like Rav Hananya ben Gamliel, because Yom Kippur, the Iker Zedono, the main thing that shows the Chumrah of Yom HaKippurim is Bedavka, where you don't have the Eidim and Hasra.